You turn your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 in your Bible. And we're just going to read a couple verses here. In fact, the first five verses. They were present at that season, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, this passage of Scripture, there were a couple of tragic events that took place in that area. I hope you two boys are paying attention back there. There was Pilate had killed a number of Galileans as they were worshiped. And also, there was a tower that fell on 18 men, and they died. And people were thinking, boy, these people must have been bad that such a tragic thing like that happened. And it kind of goes along with modern thinking. There's only some people who need to repent. You know, bad people need to repent. Right? Bad people need to repent. I guess this isn't working. Didn't push the button right or something. Well, sorry, your button doesn't work. So we don't have to worry about that today. So, you know, I remember I was witnessing to a man, an old-time farmer. And I went to his house, and I was talking to him. And I gave him a gospel tract, and he said, you know, I don't need that. And he says, no, I don't need that. Only I never murdered anybody. I don't need that. And of course, the modern idea that there's only certain people who need to repent. You know, something tragic happens to someone. Well, it must have been a sinner. Bad people, they need to repent. But Jesus was using this illustration and counteracting the thinking of the people to press a very important point, and that is that everyone needs to repent. Everyone needs to repent. You know, oftentimes you talk to people about the Lord Jesus and about being saved, and once in a while you get this reply, I've always believed. Well, do you realize that that's not possible? That is not possible. Because the Bible tells us there's something that always must precede believing. And that is repentance. Turn with me to a couple verses in the Bible. First of all, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1. And I'll give you time to get there. Raise your hand when you found it. Mark chapter 1. All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what did he say? He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of hand is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Notice it said repent and then it said believe. If there's ever a place in the Bible where the two phrases are together, you will always find repentance before belief. You will always find repentance before you will find the word belief. In fact, repentance is such an essential part of faith that oftentimes the word repentance is used instead of to believe. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 19. Did y'all find it? Okay. Notice, here is Apostle Peter preaching. It says, repent ye therefore. Well, we'll get into context. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Notice, it says that conversion is the result of repentance. Repent and be converted, every one of you. So, we see in the Bible the emphasis of the word repentance. Notice in Luke chapter 24. Let's turn there. Raise your hand when you find it so I know everybody's there. Don't want to go ahead of you. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Okay, here's the Great Commission. And he said unto them, here is Christ, he's now died, rose from the grave, appearing unto his disciples. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice what he said, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And so here we find the word repentance is used as a synonym or instead of belief. Repentance. Notice in Acts chapter 20, let's turn there for a minute. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Here we have the Apostle Paul giving a summary of his ministry. Giving a summary of his ministry as a missionary. His summary of his ministry as he preached the Bible. And notice what it says. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. It says, verse 20, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, again, notice repentance is ahead of faith. Notice repentance was a part of the gospel. Now, what is repentance? What is repentance? That is a very important truth. What does it mean to repent? Now, let's look at a couple places in the Bible, and we'll get some insight into this. First of all, let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Verse 32. Notice it says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas," or Jonah. "And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." So Jesus said that the people of Nineveh repented. So let's go see what the people of Nineveh did. Turn with me to the book of Jonah. Now that's in one of the minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament, and might take you a little bit longer to find it. But Jonah chapter number 3, and raise your hand when you find it. Because Jesus said that they repented. And he says that unless all people repent, they will perish. Okay, so what is repentance? Okay, you found it yet? Jonah chapter number 3, a little bit harder to find. Okay, you got it back there? Everybody back there got it? All right. I don't know if you don't raise your hand. You might be sleeping. You know, I'm getting old. I can't see that good. I can't see your Bible from up here. Okay. Notice it says in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Notice, God said they repented. And how was it that God said that they repented? The synonym in this verse is the word turn. They turned from their evil way. They turned from their evil way. Now, why would a person turn from their evil way? Well, there's a number of reasons they would turn from their evil way. Number one, they heard the message from God that God was going to destroy them because of their evil way. And you might say, before that, they thought everything was fine. Before that, they were enjoying their evil way. Before that, they had no desire to change from their evil way. But when they heard the message from God, and they believed it, now they believed that their evil way was evil, and their evil way was going to bring them destruction. And so all of a sudden now they have a change of opinion about their evil way. They have a change of opinion about their sin. They have a change of opinion about the direction they're going. And they decide to turn from that sin. And they decide to turn from the direction they're going. The Bible says they repented. Now, if you turn with me to the New Testament, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And we'll have it's a good verse here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. You found it? Raise your hand. It's a whole lot better if you see it with your own eyeballs than if you just think I said it, okay? All right? First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. Now notice, it didn't say how ye were saved. Didn't say that. Now, he was describing that they were saved, but he doesn't use the word that they were saved. He doesn't describe that they believed the gospel. He is using a synonym. And what did he say? They what? They turned. They turned. They turned to God, and they turned from idols. That was a description of what was taking place in their hearts and in their life. They repented. They turned from idols. They turned from something. And they turned to something. That's repentance. Now let's go to another place in the Bible that helps us understand repentance. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, the passage we read today. Luke chapter 15. Now these are pictures of repentance. They are pictures of faith. They are pictures of salvation. Okay? Luke chapter 15, are you there? Now look at verse number 13. That's where we're going to start. Okay, are you there? Okay. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous living. Now we know that included immorality because his brother later on says that he wasted his substance with harlots. And so he lived a wicked life. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Food is expensive. There's a famine in the land. Wasn't easy to get. Wasn't readily available. People didn't have a lot of extra food to pass out and to throw away. There's a famine in the land. And he doesn't have any money now. He spent it all on his sin. Sin is always expensive. Verse 15, he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now you got to remember, this is Jewish. A Jew feeding swine. That's called the bottom of the barrel. It's talking about the bottom of the barrel, the most the lowliest thing a person could be found doing in life. Feeding pigs. Now I'm glad I'm not a Jew. I like feeding pigs. But this guy, he was at the bottom of the barrel, most despicable, dishonoring, humiliating thing a Jew could do. Is not only we has to not eat swine, but have to feed them. And the Bible says, and he would fain had desired to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He couldn't even eat what the swine ate. He had to give it to the pigs. He couldn't eat it. And no man gave unto him. His food was less than the food given to the pigs. Verse 17 is the key phrase of the first part of it. If you don't, you should probably have it underlined in your Bible. And when he came to himself. And when he came to himself. Now, if you don't understand the terminology, the word for crazy in the Bible is to be beside yourself. You know what that means? It means your brain left your head and is standing on the side of you. Okay? And what is the picture? The picture is his brain has been absent from a long time. He hasn't been thinking right for a long time. And you know what? Someone has said, when we sin, it's because we have temporary insanity. And when people sin, it's because they don't think right. And when young people love sin and they love the world and they love the things of the world, and when adults do, you know why? It's because they aren't thinking right. They aren't thinking right. When you love the world and things of the world, you want to go after them, it's because you aren't thinking right. And the Bible says a marvelous thing happens. Finally, he got to the bottom of the barrel. Finally got to the bottom of his sin. You know, sad thing to say, there's some people that they'll never think right until they finally find out the results of their wrong thinking. And this young man, his dad had to let him go. His dad had to let him go and let him do his own thing until he came to the bottom of the barrel. Why? For what purpose? So his mind could come back to his head. So he could start thinking correctly again. And yes, repentance has a lot to do with thinking correctly. Repentance has a lot to do with now this young man, for the first time in his life, he's thinking correctly about sin. All his life, and you can imagine, he was chafing all his life. Oh, he was chafing against the rules at home. He was chafing against his dad. He was chafing against authority. He wanted to be free. And he got what he wanted. His thinking had to be allowed to produce its fruit. And he got there in the pig pen. And for the first time in his life, he started thinking correctly. And so the Bible uses the phrase, and he came to himself, as a synonym of the word repentance. Notice the thinking of repentance. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and to spare? And I have nothing. I went my rebellious way. I went my sinful way. And look at what it produced. And I rebelled against my father. And I rebelled against his rules. I rebelled against his order. I want to do what I want to do. And guess what? The people in my Father's house, even the servants, they have good food. Not only have good food, they have more than they can eat. Notice his thinking has changed. Oh boy, he was so anxious to get away from Dad. He was so anxious to get away from the rules. He was so anxious to get away from the order of that home. He wanted to do his own thing. He had to discover what his thinking was going to produce. And his thinking produced poverty. No food. Humiliation. And who knows what else? What diseases he contacted. But finally, his life situation shed light onto the real thinking of his thinking. And for the first time, he appreciated his Father's house. Instead of something that he wanted to get away from, now he realized, oh, this is something I could really, this is, boy, that's, look it. Even the lowest of the people in that house, they have it good. And he says, and I perish with hunger. I've been so foolish. I will arise and go to my Father. Notice the will has now been transformed by his thinking. Notice the will has been transformed by the thinking. All those years, what was his will trying to do? Get away. What was his will trying to do? Rebel. What were his affections trying to do? Oh, I love sin. Now he got a sin. And he didn't love it too much, did he? Notice, repentance involves the intellect, the emotion, and the will. Repentance involves the intellect and the emotions, or the affections, and the will. Repentance has to do with the whole being. It's not about a person saying, well, this is what I'm going to do. No. There has to be a change of the mind. There has to be a change of their affections. And the will gladly respond. And so, he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice the responsibility it takes. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The personal responsibility of sin. The personal responsibility of choices. He said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice the humility. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. Notice what happened. There was a turning from the huss and a turning to his father. There was a repentance. There was a change of mind. Notice, Nineveh, there was repentance. Because there was a change of thinking, It resulted in a change of action. Now let's go to another place in the Bible that describes repentance, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. You know, today, there seems to be a lot of, many times there's a lot of professions, but not many conversions. You know, you with me? Today there's a lot of professions of faith in Christ, but not many conversions. And the reason there aren't many conversions nowadays is because conversion is a result of repentance. Notice the two illustrations we've given. There was repentance and there was a conversion. Now, notice the third illustration of repentance in the Bible. Verse 1 of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain or two he covered his face, because God is holy. And it was holy. Man cannot look on a holy God. And with twain he covered his feet. The ground they stood on was holy ground. And with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now notice Isaiah saw the king. And notice Isaiah saw the Lord. This is the holy God that he saw. Verse 4, and the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Notice, he came into the presence of God. Notice, he came into the light, the truth, the reality of God. Notice that light lightened him. It lightened his mind. It shed light on his actions. It shed light on his words. It shed light on the people around him. And what did he say? What did he say about his words? He said, My words have come out of unclean lips. What did he say about his people? He said, I'm in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And what did he say about himself? He says, Woe is me. You know what? He got a new understanding of himself. He got a new understanding of his sin. He got a new understanding of that which he previously thought was okay because everybody did it. Don't we live in that day? Everybody's doing it. It's okay. You know, I can wear this. That's not a problem. Everybody's wearing it. There's no such thing as moral or immoral clothes. I can act a certain way. No problem. Everybody's doing it. You know, that's the day we live in, right? As long as it's socially acceptable, you know, Hollywood is doing it, it must be okay. No, it's not. What happened? His soul got lightened. He saw that the words that came out of his mouth were wicked. You know, a lot of people been in that boat, haven't they? There's many a construction worker that every other word is a swear word. And all the people around them, every other word is a swear word. No big deal. Everybody talks that way. But Isaiah got into the presence of a holy God. And all of a sudden, he was ashamed of his words. And he wasn't merely ashamed of his words. He was ashamed of the lips that they came out of. I have unclean lips. He saw himself in a new light. What is repentance? Repentance involves thinking right. A change of thinking. The things that he was comfortable with, oh, they're wicked. He was okay. I'm not okay. And that's the problem today. People just want to add Jesus to their life. No. We don't just add Jesus to our life. No, we see that our life is a mess. And that we're a mess. And that we have a sinful heart. And we need a new heart. We see our actions are a result of that sinful heart. And we see them as what they are. And they call them what they are. Sin. And we lose our justification for it. We quit excusing ourselves. Oh, everybody's doing it. Now, let's stop right in the middle here. Am I describing something that has taken place in your life? If you have repented, then you can point to a time in your life that what I am describing has taken place in your life. And if what I'm describing that has not taken place in your life, then you have not. You are not ready for eternity. Because Jesus said, except ye all likewise repent, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance. Notice, he said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He's compared himself for finally with God, not with men. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. What a great truth. We see, what a contrast. We see himself in the sight of God . But now we see that relationship with God. What took place? Repentance. So let's go back to another important place in the Bible. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Raise your hand when you found it so I know you're there. You know, sometimes people can say, I heard that verse 1,000 times before. I know that verse. But you know, there's something more than that. There's something more than to say, I know that verse. You know what more is? There is, do you understand the verse? Do you know what it means? Could you explain it to somebody else? Have you experienced that truth yourself? Notice a great verse in the Bible, talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Notice the things that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of. Now, the English word reprove, a synonym is the word convince. Synonym is the word convince. Another word would be, synonym would be convict. What is a conviction? Something that you have been convinced of. Okay? Now it says it's going to convince the world of three things. Of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, what are we describing here? We're describing that the Holy Spirit will put light on every man, woman, and child before they die. He will bring light upon their soul of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And there will be no excuse. Now, let's explain it in its fullest extent. He will reprove the world of sin. He will show men that what they are doing is sin. You know why do people do what they do? Because they're convinced that's what I want to do. That's what's good for me. That's what I can get, what I want out of life. And you know what? The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And the prodigal son, he thought what he wanted in life, boy, that's great. That's going to produce everything I want. His thinking was wrong. But when the Holy Spirit lights a person's life, he shines his light right on them. And he exposes what they're doing and it shows them that it's sin. It's sin. It's not a mistake. It's sin. No escape. He shows them it's sin. Now, if it's a thief, he can show them that it's sin. If they're a liar, he's going to show them it's a sin against God, against themselves. If they're immoral, he's going to show them it's sin. And they aren't going to be able to escape it. Sin. But just like Isaiah, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. It wasn't just the words that were sin. It was the lips they came out of. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sinfulness, of their self, of their heart. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. You know, that own way, that's rebellion against God. Even if you're a respectable citizen, going your own way and not God's way is rebellion against a holy God. The Holy Spirit will shine His light. You know, don't you see the old-time picture, Sherlock Holmes? You know, Sherlock Holmes, he's got his big flashlight, you know? And, you know, here's the person cracking the safe, you know? Dark room, you know? And here comes Sherlock Holmes with his big flashlight, you know, sheds a big beam of light on this guy. He's caught right in the act. No question about it. Caught him in the act. It was sin. Holy Spirit sheds light. Notice it says, and of righteousness. In Sunday school, we're talking about the beauty of holiness. In Sunday school, we're talking about that a holy God is beautiful. But today, most people don't think that holiness is very beautiful. You know, most people, they think of holiness as obeying a bunch of rules, living in a straitjacket. That's what they think about holiness. You know why? Because they're just like the prodigal son. They aren't thinking right. The things that they love haven't brought them down to the gutter yet. Hasn't destroyed their life yet. Hasn't come to its end. But you know, righteousness is beautiful. Righteousness is beautiful. You know, holy living is beautiful. Living without cursing is beautiful. Living without alcohol is wonderful. Living pure is precious, is sweet. Knowing Jesus Christ is wonderful. I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the Holy Spirit sheds light on a person. You know what? That young man down there in the pits, in the swine house, he said, you know what? I used to hate my father's house. But you know what? All of a sudden, now I see it differently. I see it as wonderful. I see it as a place that I would want to be. I see my father's house is not a place, a way to get away from, but I see a place that I want to live. The Bible says, Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. You know what repentance is? Repentance, yeah, has a negative part. It's showing you how sin is sin, and there's a penalty for sin, and sin came out of a wicked heart, and we were born in wickedness in Adam and Eve, and it's terrible, our black heart. We need a new heart. But repentance is also the positive. Oh, I can see Jesus Christ, a wonderful Lord. What a great thing it would be for Him to be ruling my life. What a great thing it would be for Him to direct my life rather than me directing my life and messing it up. Oh, righteousness. Oh, it's so pure. It is so sweet. It is so precious. Look at those people. Look at the joy in their hearts. Look at the peace they have. Look at how they enjoy walking with God. Look at the smile on their face. Oh, I want that. Righteousness. He will reprove the world, convince them of righteousness, that it's wonderful. Wonderful. You know, so many people, they want to get a fire escape from hell. But they don't want the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. They don't want to follow Him to the nth degree. They're afraid of Him. They don't love Him. They don't know Him. They don't appreciate Him. Why? Because their mind has not been illuminated by the light of the Holy Spirit to see the beauty of righteousness. That's why we have such shallow decisions today. The beauty of holiness. Repentance. Oh, that's what I want. That's the kind of life I want to live. That's who I want running my life. Man, a lady came up to, I think it was Charles Spurgeon once. And she says, I'd like to be saved, but I just don't have any inclination to get saved. She says, I know I got a wicked life. I know I'm on my way to hell. But I just don't seem to have any inclination within me to really get saved. And I think it was Charles Spurgeon said to this lady, who was a wicked lady. She says, now, for the next 6 weeks, all I want you to do is I want to think about you to think about your sin. I want to think about you to think about how despicable it is. I want you to think about how vile it is, how filthy it is, how rebellious it is, how dark it is, how gross it is. I want you to think about your sin for 6 weeks and then come back. And she came back after all those weeks. And he said, what do you think about your sin? Oh, it's just terrible. Oh, it's just so miserable thinking about my sin and where it's going to send me. He says, now, for the next 6 weeks, I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about Him hanging on Calvary's cross for your sin. I want you to think of His love, that He would love you so much that He would die in your place. I want you to think of His humility, how He left the glories of heaven to come to this cruel and wicked, sinful world so He could die for you and I. I want you to think about Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the fact that a holy God had to send His perfect Son to give a perfect sacrifice, that He who knew no sin might become sin for us. She said, think about that. For the next week, she thought about Jesus Christ and His beauty and His holiness and His righteousness. And he came back to, I believe it was Charlesburg, and he says, are you ready to get saved? Yes. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to turn from my sin. It is so wicked, so terrible. And I'm glad and anxious to run to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, real repentance is real. It's not momentary. It's a convincing of the mind. It is such a convincing of the mind that it sees very clearly the identity and the character of sin and the beauty and the love and the mercy of Christ. It's a heavenly view of sin and self and God that causes us to turn from self, see our need of God's forgiveness, and causes us to turn to a loving and holy God for forgiveness and lordship. Repentance. Repentance is a result of saying yes and agreeing with the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, you're right. Yes, Lord, you're right. Yes, Lord, that is terrible. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I see that that thing is ungodly. Yes, Lord, I see it. I see I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I see the Lord Jesus. Salvation, yes, that's what I want. I want to live godly. I'm tired of this old life. I want a new life. I want a right kind of life. I need a new heart. Repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. Have you repented? Have you repented? Did the light of God shed on your life in such a manner that you saw yourself as who you were? And you turned in disgust from your sin and yourself to the only one who could forgive you, Jesus Christ. Turn to the only one who could give you a new heart. Turn to the only one who died and rose again for you. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. They are so close to one another that faith is many times substituted. The word repentance is substituted for the word faith. Because it's such a vital part of what it means to turn to Jesus Christ as Savior. Repentance. Now, I need not to say this, but I ought to say this, that the Christian life restarts in repentance and continues in repentance. Because in the Christian life, the light of God's Word should be constantly lighting our mind and our heart and our life. And it should constantly be showing us the right picture of sin and ourselves and our past, and causing us to say, that was wrong. That is wrong. That's wrong thinking. That's not right. That's not according to the Bible. There should be a constant life of repentance. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How can that be? Because the word lightens us, shows us sin, shows us our sinful thoughts. And cause us to turn from those things. And it's not a wooden exercise. No. It's not a wooden exercise. It can't be. Because repentance is a convincing of the mind and of the affections. And so that the will gladly turns. Repentance. You know, a person could have repented and trusted Christ, but they may need to repent of not repenting, not changing, not letting God show light on their life, not changing their opinion about sin, changing their opinion about God. Repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, the wonderful thing about the Bible is that the Bible paints an accurate picture. And in my simplistic thinking, you ought to be able to identify with all these illustrations of what God did in your heart and life that caused you to turn to Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to identify with it. And in that sense, the word, this message on repentance should solidify in your heart the reality of your salvation. And it's amazing. We go through all these places in the Bible and you look at it accurately. You see, oh, exactly. Repentance. And it's all the same nature. Now, if you have trouble identifying with that, then you need to let the Holy Spirit shed light on your life, so that you can have repentance. You need to go and put yourself in a place where God's light will shed itself on you. You know why? You know why birds of a feather flock together? Avoid conviction. Avoid conviction. Yeah. You know why God's people don't read the Bible much or listen to the preaching? Avoid conviction. Avoid light so we can go on our merry way and do change nothing. If we're saved, there ought to be a continual work of repentance in our life. We have a long way to go, don't we? We are far from what God wants us to be. And there ought to be a continual repenting in our life as we put our lives under the microscope of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for these great truths, Lord. And I thank you that the Bible makes it so clear that when a person is in repentance, Lord, it is just the natural, the normal thing to turn in confession of sin to Jesus Christ. To turn to Him and find that forgiveness. And to turn to Him and to find new life. And to turn to Him as who He really is, the Holy Son of God. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone that is here today that does not have repentance, did not repent, did not turn from going their own way, to turning to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we give in your word. We only can commit it to your Holy Spirit to shed light so each person can apply it to their own heart. And so that, Lord, precious souls would be released from the bondage of sin and religion and false profession and come to true faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, that those who are here that can remember how the Spirit of God brought them under conviction of sin and caused them to turn from sin to Christ, they can rejoice in your mercy. And that all of us, Lord, would look in our life whether we, Lord, have become self-satisfied and content in our lives and have stopped allowing the light of the Spirit of God to show us our needs and to turn even further in our lives from sin to following Jesus Christ in obedience. And so, Lord, might you have your work in our life. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the Spirit of God has worked in your life today, and you say, you know, I cannot point to a time in my life where I repented, like you described it, Pastor, of my sin and turned to Jesus Christ. But today, I recognize my sin, my sinfulness. I'm ready to turn from my way and from my sin and turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm ready. Would you please pray for me? Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. I'm ready. How many can say today, by a lifted hand, you say, you know what? I can remember the exact time. I maybe can't give you the date, but I can remember the exact time that I repented of going my own way and I turned to Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to become my Lord and Savior and to give me a new heart. Would you just lift your hand as an indication of that? You said, I can point that specific time that I trusted Christ. And you're not ashamed to admit that. Praise the Lord. Many hands. Well, if you haven't, today would be a great day for you to trust Christ as your Savior. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Once you turn to him, Lord, I pray for your working of your word in every life. We pray in Jesus' name.